I do apologise for the delay and everything. Our router has gone down on the computer. We have quite a few people watch us on Zoom and on YouTube, so we've been trying to get some system going. Welcome to this wonderful Easter day. Thank you, God, for the wonderful weather with it. And Barbara, would you like to come forward? Yeah, we were delaying in the hope that we could find a cable that might work, but it didn't work. We welcome you here whether you're, well, you're not on Zoom at the moment, but we welcome you when you come. And we thank Barbara Searle for leading our worship. The service includes Holy Communion. Everyone is welcome to participate, and the bread for the communion is gluten-free, and the wine is non-alcoholic. We've also welcomed into our building today a number of children and their parents and their families who are having their own worship in the North Room, led by our children and families worker Mel Jones, which is an absolutely wonderful thing to do. We will thank her for leading what she's doing in the North Room there. I've seen several people come in, which is wonderful, plus Bridget's family and Roz and Ali's family, and it's wonderful. Please join us for a cup of tea or coffee and chat in the coffee bar after the service today. And if it's communion service, we'll have two offerings. The first is for the work of the church, and that will be taken in the red bags by Lucy and Cindy. And the elders who will later be serving communion, which is Mike and Rick, will then bring round baskets for our offerings for the cause of the month, which for April is DART, which is short for Disaster Assistance Response Team, which is operated by Samaritan's Purse. And in times of emergency, whether caused through war, poverty, famine, disease, natural disaster, the charity sends out teams of volunteer doctors to help supply water, food, shelter and medical care. The team provides relief to the victims while sharing the hope of Jesus Christ. You can find out more from the display. You don't have to give to either of our donations. Obviously, we welcome it if you do. And quite a lot of people that donate through their bank. But that's what the offertory in the basket will be for. Now going to light a candle for a time of quiet as we prepare for worship.
Easter to you all, and welcome to our worship today. Our call to worship should appear on the screen, if you could join in the words in heavy type at the end. On this morning, this special morning, surrounded by spring flowers and signs of new life, we have come to celebrate our risen Lord. And so we proclaim, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. And we continue that celebration in our two worship songs. See what a morning, and all heaven declares.
Oh.
risen Lord, we come to you this morning full of joy. Our hearts are full and our spirits soar as we think of your victory over death and all that it means for us. For we understand the simple truth that without dying, there is no resurrection. Help us, Lord, not only to celebrate today, but to live resurrection within ourselves in the days ahead, so that we find opportunity in disappointment, peace in pain, faith in doubt, and courage when we are fearful. Help us to take the joy of today beyond our worship this morning, first within this church family, as we try to live in Christian love, showing understanding and bearing each other's burdens, and then out into your world, showing that there can be a different way of living, a way that offers new life for all, whatever they may have been in the past. Risen Lord, we come to you this morning full of joy. Accept our praise, our honour, and our love. Amen. And let us join together in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. May we have the offertory, please. Loving God, we bring these gifts in thanksgiving for all that you give to us, asking that we may be servants of others and witnesses to your love. Amen. Thank you. Now we're going to hear the first of our readings this morning. Thank you, Gareth.
The first reading is from the letter to the church at Colossae. So, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is in your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory.
We sing our next hymn,
Alleluia, alleluia, give thanks to the risen Lord.
Second reading this morning is from Matthew 28, verses 1 to 10. The resurrection of Jesus after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who is crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Thanks be to God for these readings.
Thank you, Gareth. I'd like to follow that with a reading from its words by Edmund Banyard, who I know many of you will remember was a URC minister and moderator of the URC. "Why should they believe? They'd seen him crucified, seen him dying in agony. They knew without the slightest shadow of doubt that he was dead, and all their hope and expectations had died with him. They didn't, They couldn't believe it possible until his living presence turned common sense on its head. And they knew that the unbelievable had happened and became joyful messengers of the resurrection. Without the resurrection, there would have been no gospel, no good news to be proclaimed. And Paul would never have been able to write, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And I'd like you to hold on to that thought for my address in a few moments. But first we're going to sing our next hymn. Christ is alive, let Christians sing. In your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A week ago, as we remembered Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, we were asked to imagine ourselves there, in the crowd, waving palm branches, shouting Hosanna, totally swept along by the excitement of the day. Could this really be the arrival of the long-awaited Messiah? 7 days on, and the mood is very different. Jerusalem is quiet. The air of celebration has totally evaporated, and we are left stunned by the fact that Jesus, the man who spoke of loving our enemies and treating everyone as our neighbour, who healed the sick and cared for the poor, has not only been arrested, but executed, and in the cruelest way possible. For crucifixion is reserved for the worst sort of criminal, or a rabble-rousing popular leader plotting some sort of revolt against our Roman governor. all our hopes and dreams of a new age led by the Messiah are gone. And it's back to the same old story. As with so many others in our long history, prophets, priests, and even kings, Jesus has been a flash in the pan who will soon be forgotten, just a footnote in the chronicles of the past. And so, as dawn is beginning to break, it is just two women. Women who've long been followers of Jesus, who set out to go to his tomb. A small cave-like space carved out of the rock for a wealthy man, Joseph of Arimathea. Jews believed that when someone died, their soul remained in the body for 3 days. And so it was only after that that the burial could be completed. So the women's visit is twofold. They've gone to check on the tomb, but also, perhaps more importantly, they want to be near their beloved friend in their grief. It is as they approach the tomb that there is a sudden earthquake. The ground shakes violently, and they can clearly see that the huge rock, which had been put in place to seal the entrance to the tomb, has moved. And perhaps most dramatically, sitting on the rock is a figure dressed in dazzling white. The two guards, posted by the authorities to protect the tomb, have fainted in shock and terror. And the women are also stunned. But the figure speaks to them. "Do not be afraid." He tells them that Jesus is no longer there. He's come back to life. He's returning to Galilee, where the disciples will find him. And the women are told to give this news to the disciples. Before they can even do this, Jesus appears to them. And he reassures them with the same words, "Do not be afraid." The reaction of the women is not surprising. Matthew tells us that although they felt joy because they'd received this amazing news, they were also afraid. And they had much to be frightened about, apart from the fact that, well, they couldn't really get their heads round what had just happened. They must have realised what the implications would be. The authorities would want to know what had happened to Jesus' body, and there would be accusations that it had been stolen. The disciples were already marked men. Remember Peter's experience in the courtyard of the house of the high priest. And John's gospel tells us that most of the disciples were in hiding in the house where they had celebrated the Passover with Jesus. How could they provide a believable explanation of what had happened and what would now happen to them as a result? Well, the answer to that last question is told in the final chapters of John's Gospel and in the book of Acts. So we know that the disciples themselves experienced their risen Lord on several occasions. And they did go to Galilee. And then after Pentecost, filled with the Holy Spirit, they went on to become the preachers and missionaries who were the foundations of the Christian church. Far from being afraid, they faced all sorts of trials and dangers, and many of them, of course, met violent deaths as they spread the good news of the gospel. They had become new men, speaking with authority and confidence. Fear is, of course, a very normal human reaction. It's often our way of responding to something bigger than ourselves, over which we have no control, as well as something we do not fully understand, especially as children. I had a very dear friend who was the deputy head of a big girls' secondary school in London. It was actually the one that Michelle Obama visited, though that was after, long after Molly had retired. But ever since childhood, Molly had been terrified of thunder. And if there was a really bad storm, she hid in the coat cupboard in her hall. She'd done that all her life. She never got over it. There's no doubt that the appearance of an angel tended to frighten people rather than reassure them. When I was thinking about this, I wondered what I would feel if I saw someone I thought was probably an angel. If you think about the appearances of angels in the New Testament, they are always having to say, "Do not be afraid." So the angel appears to Mary to tell her that she's going to have a son. And those are his, "Fear not, Mary. Don't worry." And then, of course, when the angel appears to the shepherds, it's the same thing. "Do not be afraid." It's as if everyone thinks the angel can only bring bad news, whereas one might have thought that an angel was bringing you rather good news. I don't know. One of the commentaries I looked at said the angel saying, "Do not be afraid," was their calling card, which I rather liked. Fear, of course, is very much a part of receiving bad news. We use the phrase "fearing the worst," and as we get older, we are much more aware of the worst that can happen as we lose family and friends, often in very sad circumstances. Our fears are often based on the worst possible outcome, and we regard this as being prepared to face reality. We cannot predict the future, so much of what happens in life is uncertain, and fear is our natural response. Being told, "Do not be afraid," can actually seem unhelpful and even unsympathetic. Of course we are afraid. And yet, these are words that Jesus himself used. For example, when he walked on the Sea of Galilee to the disciples in their boat. They were terrified, thinking they were seeing a ghost. But Jesus understood their very human reaction and offered gentle words of reassurance. And so that is perhaps the way that we should receive these words too. Because Jesus does understand our needs, our doubts, and our fears. He understands that we know the realities of life with all its uncertainties. And he knows that experience often prepares us for the worst of outcomes rather than the best. So what we are actually being offered, is a promise, not that everything will turn out fine, but that whatever happens, whatever the day ahead may hold, God is there to strengthen and uphold us, so we do not face the difficulties of life alone. Nothing we may meet is stronger than God's love, so in the end, it is God's love which is triumphant. And surely that is the message of Easter Day itself. Whatever the opposition to Jesus and the political machinations which led to his trial and execution, the last word was with God, who raised his son from the dead. How can we be fearful when we know that we have God with us, as Paul wrote to the church in Rome? I was in the Theatre Royal Café the other day waiting to order my coffee. As I'm a regular customer, meeting friends or calling in on the way home from shopping, I can say my usual please, knowing that the order will be understood. "That's fine," said the girl behind the counter. "No worries." When the coffee arrived, and I'm a bit fussy about what I have, she said, I said, "Thank you, that looks fine." And I got the same response, "No worries." Now I know that what she actually meant was, that was no problem. But still, the idea of having no worries was a refreshing one, at a time when it seems the whole world is holding its breath over what's going on in the Middle East. I wrote this towards the end of the week and hoped it would still be up to date by this morning. Things, of course, have happened overnight. The news cycle, with its endless analysis of probable or possible or potential outcomes, doesn't help. Constant speculation based on the unpredictability of the leader of the most powerful country in the world is far from reassuring, and our helplessness heightens our fears. And yet, the more uncertain things are and the more helpless we feel, the more we need to be aware of a very different power surrounding us. Our reading from the letter to the church at Colossae gave us some valuable advice. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Easier said than done, you may say. But just think for a moment. What happened 2,000 years ago at the Passover in Jerusalem would be completely forgotten, were it not for one thing, the resurrection of Jesus. The Roman Empire, which covered much of the known world at that time, has long since gone. The Jewish leaders at that time, who engineered the arrest and execution of Jesus, hardly remembered by name. Time passes, and political leaders come and go. That is the nature of time and history. What lasts, and will always last, is the power of God, who is the ultimate authority. In the end, we are in his hands, and he will never fail us. In January 1933, at the time of the Great Depression, Franklin D. Roosevelt was sworn in as President of the USA. And what a contrast. He was determined to tackle the economic disaster which was destroying so many livelihoods for ordinary Americans. And he already knew what he wanted to do. He had a series of plans in his mind. But he also knew how hard it would be, because it was going to mean a lot of changes in direction and would people accept it and so on. And so he began his inaugural speech with memorable words. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. Explaining the need to be bold and strong. And you can find the beginning of the speech on YouTube. It's actually quite interesting. Somebody speaking with authority. Funnily enough, he doesn't have that much of an American accent either, which struck me very forcibly. It's still good advice. Fear can be destructive, undermining our faith. When we are faced with the unknown or the unknowable, we can only entrust ourselves to God, confident that we are enfolded in his unfailing love. And perhaps, you never know, you may hear the gentle voice of an angel. Do not be afraid. Amen. And so we bring our prayers of concern to God this morning. Let us pray. On this day full of joy and celebration for us, we are so aware of the many in our world for whom that is not the case. We pray for the many places where there is war, particularly the Middle East, Ukraine and Sudan. We think of those bombed out of their homes and medical aid workers still trying to work in terrible conditions. Most of all, we pray for the leaders of these countries, asking they may understand the true price of what they're doing and realise there is more to gain from peace and cooperation. We pray for the church throughout the world as it celebrates Easter, and particularly for our mission partnership as it develops, and for Tina, leading her first Easter worship as our minister. And our thoughts are with the wider community, and especially with those who are fearful today. People facing medical tests and treatment. Those anxious about the increased cost of living or about their job. Students preparing for exams. We pray for the food bank in Norwich, which is bound to be facing increased pressure in the weeks ahead. We remember all who are mentioned on our prayer board. And in a moment of silence, let's think about people who are important to us personally. Finally, we pray for ourselves, asking that in the days ahead we may feel the strength of God around us, the love of Christ as he walks with us, and the power of the Holy Spirit guiding us. And we ask these prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we prepare to share bread and wine at the Lord's table, we sing our next hymn, Gifts of Bread and Wine. church, but of the Lord. It has been made ready for those who love him and who want to love him more. So come to this table where the living Christ offers us bread broken for our journeying and wine poured out for our tears. Share together in this meal where loss finds comfort in promise and despair is transformed into hope. Whoever you are, whatever you bring, hear the risen Christ call your name and accept Christ's invitation to new life. Let us hear the story of how this sacrament began. On the night on which Jesus was betrayed, he sat at supper with his disciples. While they were eating, he took a piece of bread, said a blessing, broke it, and gave it to them with the words, "This is my body. It is broken for you. Do this to remember me." Later, he took a cup of wine, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you, to remember me." So now, following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread and this wine, the ordinary things of the world, which Christ will make special. And as he said a prayer before sharing, let us do so too. Easter God, we bring you our praise and thanks. You take the pain of our Good Fridays, the watching of suffering and the waiting for death, and transform our helplessness into the fragile beginnings of hope. You take the bleakness of our Easter Saturdays, the weariness of defeat and desolation, and transform our despair into the will and courage to go on. You take the grieving of Easter Sunday morning, the fearful approach to the tomb, and transform our bewilderment into the breathlessness of new life. And so, with Mary and the disciples, with all who have wept and been comforted, with all who have mourned and found hope, we sing your Easter praises. We praise you that we are here today around the table of Jesus. We have heard the good news of your love. The cross is the sign of your arms stretched out in love for us, and the empty tomb declares your love stronger than death. Here is bread, God's good gift. It will become for us the bread of life. Here is wine, God's good gift. It will become for us the cup of salvation. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. body of Christ broken for us. The blood of Christ shed for us. Easter God, you have met us in bread and wine, surprised us with your joy. Send us out into the world dancing with delight, and with hallelujahs ringing in our hearts, to share your justice and your praise. Amen. And we sing our closing hymn. I hope you've still got plenty of voice left. Thine be the glory.
Thank you.
God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, strengthen us to walk with him in his risen life. And may Almighty God bless us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And shall we join in the grace together? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Can I just say a very big thank you to Cindy for the beautiful letters, the beautiful flowers, and very much to our musicians. It's always a great treat. Thank you.